Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you as we gather together on this Sunday, the first Sunday after Christmas, to worship and praise the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For those of you who still have a lot of Christmas left in you, know that we are still in the Christmas season. There are actually 12 days of Christmas, so there are 8 more days of Christmas to go, 8 more days of celebration, 8 more days of gift giving. So just know that we are still in the season of Christmas. But it's good seeing you all here this morning. Just want to remind everyone that we will not have a Wednesday Bible study next week. Next Wednesday will be the 1st of January, so we will be starting a new calendar year, but we will not have Bible study next week. There are other things going on here at Alney Presbyterian Church. Please take the time to read your bulletin as well as go to our webpage. In the next few Sundays, we will have a lot of things going on. We will be having a congregational meeting 2 weeks from now to elect officers, and so to actually install our officers. So please be aware of that. We will be asking you to for a congregational meeting to come together to for that purpose. But please read your bulletin and also go to our webpage to stay abreast of what is happening here at Alney Presbyterian Church.
Our reading today comes from the book of Colossians, chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: fornication, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you once walked when you lived in them, but now put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and foul talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old nature with its practices and have put on the new nature, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there cannot be Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free man, but Christ is all and in all. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassion, kindness, lowliness, meekness, and patience, forbearing one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This is the word of the Lord.
Friends, we wanted to talk just a little bit about fashion this morning. Won't be long, but I wanted to talk about fashion this morning, the things that we wear. I assume that some of you received some clothing items for Christmas. Christmas is always a good time to receive items of clothing, a new sweater here, a shirt there, socks maybe. So I wanted to talk a little bit about fashion. It's terribly important for all of us. Clothes are important. When I lived in Georgia, I used to live next to a community college where I would regularly go to use the library, and Clarkston, Georgia was a bit like Olney. It was very diverse. In fact, it is the most diverse place in America. There's people there whose origins are from all over the world, and that diversity was reflected in the student body of the college. But one of the unifying factors was fashion. I used to go there and watch the kids as they went to and fro from their classes, and they were all adorned in the latest fashions, and it often looked like a kind of a fashion show. But fashion is big business in our society. We have fashion shows, fashion magazines, fashion designers. Fashion is very, very big. People dress for all kinds of reasons. Some people dress for success. Some people dress in order to identify with a particular community. You can usually tell who people belong to by how they dress, or at least who they want to belong to. Our fashion choices often shape us. In fact, the word fashion means to shape or to mold. And that's what clothes do for us. They shape us and mold us into a particular image. And that's what the Apostle Paul is concerned about in the text that we read this morning. Paul is concerned about how the congregation dresses. He's concerned about a well-dressed congregation. And no, he's not talking here about whether or not we should wear blue jeans to church, or how we should, whether or not we should wear our Sunday best. He's not concerned about that. I suspect that if we were to ask Paul, Paul would say whenever we come together, we should come as we are in terms of what we wear physically. But Paul here is concerned with how we dress the soul. He's concerned with how we dress the congregation in terms of the virtues in which that are important in the midst of the congregation. Paul says that with the coming of the Lord, something has changed. And so that we as followers of Christ cannot just dress in any kind of way. There's a way we are called to dress. There's a way we are called to appropriately be attired spiritually as we come together as God's people. You know, if you've been like me, there may have been a few times in your life where you found yourself inappropriately attired. Several years ago, I remember being invited to a breakfast. It was a breakfast that was sponsored by one of our Presbyterian congregations, and it was on a Saturday. It was a breakfast brunch kind of deal. And because it was on a Saturday and it was a breakfast, I assumed that it was kind of a relaxed situation. And so I put on a pair of slacks and a sweater, and I, went to the breakfast. And when I got there, I found out that it was a highly formal affair. People were dressed up in suits, and women were dressed accordingly, and I, felt out of place. I was out of place. I mean, everyone else was, dressed very formally, and there I was in my, sweater and my slacks. But Paul says, don't let that happen to us when it comes to dressing up our soul. There's things that we need to discard, and there are things that we need to put on. Paul says that with the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, everything has changed, and so there are certain things we should wear and certain things we should not wear, certain things that need to be thrown out. Perhaps we've all had that experience of going to our closets and doing inventory and trying to decide whether what we are going to keep and what we're going to throw out. Sometimes we may throw something out because it's no longer age appropriate. I've had several items that I've gotten rid of because They're no longer appropriate for a man my age to wear. I'm not going to tell you what they were or what they are. Some things we throw out because they no longer fit. They've shrunk, or I've grown, but I throw them out. Some things we might throw out because they're hideously out of fashion. Or maybe we throw them out because they're hideously in fashion, like skinny jeans. But we throw things out, get rid of them, because we can no longer wear them. They're inappropriate for us to wear. But Paul says that when it comes to dressing our souls, there are certain things we need to get rid of, certain things that we need to throw out, things that are inappropriate for us as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, inappropriate for us as God's people. And Paul names the things that we need to get rid of, things like anger, wrath, slander, malice, lying, foul talk, concentrating on things that are divisive, all of the kind of things that sort of characterize our modern discourse. Paul says that all of these things belong to the old sinful world, a world that you and I no longer belong to. So Paul says, don't wear those things anymore. He says we need to throw them out, get rid of them, throw them out of your closet. You don't want your soul to be caught dead wearing any of those kind of things. So get rid of them. But Paul doesn't stop there, of course. Sometimes we Christians, we place emphasis on the things that we are not supposed to do, the things we are called to strip off. And that's fine as far as it goes. But Paul says we can't stop there. We can't just stop with the things we are called to strip off. Because if we stop there, we are just left naked and exposed. But he says, for the well-dressed soul and the well-dressed congregation, there are certain things we need to put on, certain things we need to wear. And Paul lists those things too. Kindness, humility, patience, gentleness, forgiveness. All of these things, I should note, are community virtues. They're about the community. They're virtues that hold the community together and help the community to thrive. They're not just individual virtues, but they're community virtues. Virtues that we all need. We need, for instance, humility. We need to be humble. Sometimes it's easy for us as God's people to think we have all the answers, to think we're always right and we know everything. And sometimes we can let those things kind of tear the congregation or tear the community apart. But Paul says we need to be humble. Humble enough to listen to each other. Humble enough to know that we don't always have all the answers. Humble enough to know that we're not always right. We need humility. It's important for the thriving of the community. He says we need kindness. The well-dressed congregation is a kind congregation. Several years ago, when I first came to Philadelphia, there was another pastor in the presbytery. Me and him got here about the same time, and we were on a committee together, and we were coming back from out of town, and he was dreading going back to his church. And I asked him what was wrong, and he said, the people there are just mean. I said, what do you mean? He said, they're just mean. I felt kind of sorry for him. I didn't know what he was talking about. Thank God that I've never been in a congregation that's mean, but he was telling me his the people there was just mean, and he just loathed being there, loathed having to go there on a Sunday, loathed having to go to a session meeting because the people were mean. But As followers of Christ, we are to wear kindness. We are to be kind with each other. He said we need to have patience. We need to put on patience. We need to be patient with one another. Patience because people are at different places. We're not all at the same places. We all are at a different place in our walk with Christ. And so we need to be patient with each other. And of course, we need to put on forgiveness. We need to forgive each other. As part of a community with a common purpose, forgiveness is important because we're going to do things that hurt each other from time to time, intentionally or unintentionally. And when we do that, we need to be people who forgive. Because if we don't do those things, then we end up damaging who we are. We end up damaging not only who we are, but we end up damaging our witness to who we are called to be. So Paul says we need to make sure that as a congregation, that as a community of God's people, that we are attired appropriately. And of course, the chief virtue, the virtue that ties it all together, is love itself. We're called to have love for each other, even as Christ has loved all of us. All of these virtues not only help us to thrive, but they also help us to bear witness to who we belong to. They help us to bear witness to the Lord Jesus Christ himself. In fact, the more we wear these virtues, the more we put these virtues on, the more we put on humility, the more we put on patience, the more we put on kindness, the more like Christ we become. I've heard actors say that when they get into costume, they actually become the character that they are acting. It helps them to become that character. And the more we put on the virtues of humility and kindness and patience and forgiveness, the more we become like Christ, the more like Jesus we become. And so Paul says, make sure that you're putting on the right kind of things. Make sure that you are fashioned appropriately, because it's about becoming more like Christ. Speaking of fashion, there's one fashion trend that I hate. And I see it, you know, among men. I'm sure, you know, ladies, you have yours too. But there's a fashion trend among men I hate. And I hate seeing men wear suits. You know, full suits and tie, you know, full suit with sneakers. I mean, I hate that. It's taken me a long time to get used to seeing men wearing sport coats and blue jeans. You know, I used to hate that too, but I'm beginning to come around. But I hate seeing men wear suits and sneakers. I saw that the other day. I was down in the center city, and this man had on this nice suit, and then he followed up with a pair of sneakers, and I hate that. They don't go together. It doesn't look good. It's ugly. It's disjointed. But there are some Christians who think that they can wear Jesus and wear the old self too. There are some Christians who think they can wear Jesus and wear anger. There are some Christians who think that they can wear Jesus and wear slander. Some people who think that they can be adorned in Jesus and have malice in their hearts. There's some people who think that they can wear Jesus and wear unforgiveness at the same time. Have you ever seen Christians who think they can do that? And it just doesn't look good. It's not fooling anybody. It's disjointed. It's ugly. You can't do that. You can't put on the old self and try to put on the new self too. You can't put on the old life, the old sinful life, and think you can wear Jesus too. It doesn't work. And so Paul says, make sure that you're dressed appropriately. Make sure that we're dressed in a way that bears witness to the Lord Jesus Christ. The fact of the matter is that we've been given a wonderful gift, all of us. We've been given this wonderful, wonderful gift, which is what this season is about. We've been given the Lord Jesus Christ himself, the light of the world. And Paul wants to make sure that we put him on. He wants to make sure that we just don't unwrap the gift and put it away somewhere. He wants to make sure that we don't take Jesus out of whatever box we put him in and then hang him up and leave him in the closet. But he wants us to put him on. He wants us to show Jesus. That's what this season is all about. It's about God coming into the midst of us, Jesus coming into our world, and it's about us too. It's about us wearing Jesus. Because that's what the world needs to see more than anything else. It needs to see a community that is held together by the Lord Jesus Christ, held together by humility, held together by love, held together by kindness. It needs to see that kind of community in the midst of this world. In the midst of the world that is ruled by arrogance and anger and hatred and divisiveness, the good news is that God has come into the world to create a different kind of people. And that's what you and I are. We're a different kind of people. And Paul says that we are to dress appropriately. We're to dress in a way that bears witness to who we are. Dressed in a way to let Jesus show. The writer Frederick Buechner tells of a Christmas pageant at the church of a friend of his, was an Episcopal priest. And the pageant was pretty much like what we do on Christmas Eve. There were readings and the priest read the readings and followed up by songs and hymns. And near the end of the service, all of the angels were to gather around the manger. And the angels, of course, was a chorus of children. But as they gathered around the manger, there were so many of them, they were kind of crowded out, and there was one little girl, one little angel. She was like 9 years old, and she couldn't get to a place where she could see the manger. She couldn't see the little baby Jesus. She was relegated to the fringes, and the choir was to sing, "Oh, come, let us adore him," and they began to pipe up and to sing, "Oh, come, let us adore him," and it was a beautiful song, hymn that they sung on cue. But after the song, the little girl who was 9 years old said in frustration, but loud enough for the whole congregation to hear, she said, "Let Jesus show. Let Jesus show." And that's what we are called to do. We are called to let Jesus show in our lives. Let Jesus show in our congregation, in our household of faith. Let Jesus show in how we relate to each other. Let Jesus show in our putting on of humility and love and compassion and patience and forgiveness. And most importantly, in love. Let Jesus show, because that's what the world desperately needs, this darkened world. They need someone to show them Jesus. And that's what this season is about. That's what the Christ candle is about. And that's what all of us are about. Let Jesus show. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we ask this morning that you help us to let Jesus show in our own life, into those who we come into contact with, in a world that is so divided, in a world that is so encased in darkness. May we show the light of love and peace and compassion in the world. Help us to live as your people. Help us to be the light that you have called us to be in the life of the world. Help us all to let Jesus show. And we ask all of these things in his wonderful name this morning. Amen.